Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
What a glorious day. What a hope-filled day. Amen. And we're so honored that you're here today with us. As Pastor Cruz had mentioned, tomorrow we're going to be beginning a journey together. And we want to inspire you to join us. Today we begin a new series called In Step. And our desire is to get in step with Jesus. You know, God has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is much greater than anything you could ask, think, or imagine. And until you are in step with Jesus, you'll never know what it could be. Because that's eternal life. Eternal life is not just one day, but eternal life can begin today for you. Eternal life can happen right now. And for those of you who have tasted of this heavenly gift, who have experienced being born again, but you're not in step, you're not in step with Jesus, this is an opportunity to today to come out of the tomb again, to come out of the tomb and to walk with Jesus, to get in step with him. No matter what you face in this life, there is a path that God has, and it's straight, and it's narrow, and it's good. It's one in which he said he'll never leave you or forsake you. It's one in which he said he will meet every one of your needs. If you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he will add everything you need in this life. This life he will provide for you. And so we want to do this 50-day journey from now until Pentecost Sunday, where we're going to have Pentecost Sunday, 50 days from today, we're going to have a joint worship service. Some of you that are new may not be aware, but we now have two Bethel locations in Chandler. And come on, praise God. And this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we've had six services. And this is the last one here and the last one happening simultaneously at our new location, Bethel Sunrise over on Galveston Road. And lives are being touched. People are being born again. And it's exciting what God's doing. But Pentecost Sunday, that Sunday night, we're going to have a worship night coming together and celebrating this journey together. And so we want to encourage you, grab a bookmark that has the 50 days laid out. Most of the days it's just two scriptures, sometimes there's three, but if we do it together, there's something special about being in unity and being in step together. And so just come join us. It's going to be amazing. During our 7:14 devotionals in the morning, we're going to have two pastors and leaders on at the same time during those devotional times. We're going to include Saturday and Sunday morning for those devotions, 7:14, over the next 50 days. And get in step with Jesus. Amen? Yes. Be in step with him. Man, his plans that he has for you are good. To give you a hope and a future, not to harm you, amen? And so, this is an important day. This is an important day in our Christian faith. In fact, if Jesus didn't resurrect, the Apostle Paul said this, we're to be ridiculed and we're the most foolish of all. If Jesus didn't resurrect, then Jesus wasn't who he says he was. Because Jesus said he would resurrect. Jesus said that he had the power to save, that he was the Messiah, he was the Lamb of God, and that he was the way, the truth, and the life. But it all hinges on this one moment, this historical moment that happened. It's all chips in on this one thing happening. If this one thing doesn't happen, it erases all of what Jesus said. But it did happen. It did happen. For he has risen, church. He has risen. And so that's what Easter is all about. It's a celebration of the risen King, of this historical moment that history is full of evidence. This is not a fairy tale. This is a true story with so much evidence that you have to ignore it not to believe it. And we'll get into that. But let's get into the scriptures and one of the accounts of the risen Savior in Luke chapter 24. Today, in our series, In Step, we've entitled this message, Out of the Tomb. Out of the Tomb. For some of you, today might be the first time you step out of the tomb. For the stone has been rolled away. And he calls you, Jesus calls you to follow. For some of you, you may have taken that step, but only found yourself back in a tomb. Today is the day to step out again. Yes. To get in step with Jesus. Amen? Amen? Okay, Luke chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went into the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men clothed that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raise again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, and the mother of James, and others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the stripes of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come before you. We come before you because, Jesus, you made a way where there was no way. You made a way. And because you made a way, I stand before you, Father, and I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, open our ears, open our eyes to see. Let us taste and see of your goodness today. And Lord, help us by the power of the Holy Spirit get in step with our risen Savior, our risen King, our risen Lord today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Out of the tomb. It's time, church. It's time to get out of the tomb and to get in step with Jesus, because he's got a life for you. He has a purpose for you. He has plans for you. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Tell him, God's got plans for you. And the first thing he's planned is for you to get out of the tomb. It's time to get out of the tomb, because the Bible says, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." It's time. Today is the day of salvation. It's time. Why is the resurrection so important? Why is it so critical? It's so important that I wrote it down, that you would hear it, of its importance. See, the resurrection of Jesus is the central importance to Christians. As it forms the foundation of the Christian faith, it provides the basis for our Christian hope. Here are some of the key reasons why the resurrection is so important to us. Number one, it is a sign of Jesus' victory over sin and death. The resurrection shows that Jesus has triumphed over the powers of evil and has conquered death, offering the promise of eternal life to all who believe in him. It is the validation of Jesus' claims to be the Son of God. See, the resurrection serves as a powerful testimony to Jesus' divinity, his claims to be the Messiah and the Son of God. It is the fulfillment of countless Bible prophecies that were written hundreds of years ago that were fulfilled by Jesus. Mathematically, an impossibility that all of those prophecies would be fulfilled by one man, but they were. It is the basis of Christian hope. The resurrection offers the promise of eternal life to all who believe in Jesus, giving Christians the hope of a future beyond death. It is the source of Christian power. See, the resurrection gives Christians the power to live transformed lives, to overcome sin and temptation, and to serve God with confidence and joy. The resurrection does that. The resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's available to all those who will believe and receive Jesus as Lord. Today, as we come out of the tomb, I want you to ask yourself these three questions. In fact, I don't want you to just ask these three questions today. I want you to ask these three questions every day. And question number one, what does your mind believe? Or rather, what does your mind say? What is your mind saying to you today? What does your mind say about the resurrected Jesus? Does your mind believe? Does your mind look at the facts, look at the evidence, and go, I can believe that? Does your mind believe that? It's important. God wants you to serve him with your mind. He wants you to serve him with your mind. In fact, church, God is not asking you to have a blind faith. My faith is not a blind faith. It is a faith, but it's a faith based on evidence. Evidence that's worthy of being trusted. Okay? But I don't want you to just ask, what does your mind say or what does your head say? I want you to ask, what does your heart say? What does your heart say today? Because it's not enough to believe in your mind in the resurrection or in the risen Jesus. That's not enough. That's not what will save you. A mental assent will not save you. An intellectual, I believe, will not save you. But what do you believe in your heart? What do you believe in your heart? And the average distance between your mind, your head, and your heart is 18 inches. But that 18 inches could keep you from eternal life. Those 18 inches are critical. Because without bridging that gap, without taking what you believe up here to believe in here, you can't be born again. So what do you believe in your heart? What do you believe today in your heart? What does your heart say? Yes, what does your mind say? But also, what does your heart say to you? And lastly, what does your mouth say? What does your mouth say today? It doesn't take me very long to find out where somebody's going. Just a few questions and a little bit of time and listening to what people say with their mouth. Because as we'll see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is your mouth saying today? I know what my mouth was saying all worship long. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, I praise you. Oh man, I am not going to let the rocks outpraise me. See, when you have your mind thinking what's true, that Jesus was raised from the dead, and your heart has been transformed, and your heart says that He's your Savior and your Lord, and you've been forgiven, your mouth can't help but proclaim who He is and what He's done. So we're going to look at those three things today. They're important questions every single day. What is your mind saying? What is your mind saying? What's your heart saying? And what are you saying? Because what you're thinking will become what you're believing, and what you're believing will become what you're saying. It directs your life. It gets you in step with something or someone. So let me speak to your mind for a moment about the resurrection and the evidence of the resurrection, okay? So number one, the empty tomb, the fact that Jesus' tomb was found empty on the third day after His crucifixion is a strong indication that something miraculous had happened. Number two, eyewitnesses. The New Testament records many people saw the risen Jesus after His death, including His disciples and other followers. In fact, Paul writes that there was one occasion that there were over 500 people. Now, you could say, you know, an individual here or two, maybe they had a hallucination. Maybe. Hard. Because it happened to so many. The same hallucination happened to so many. But 500 at the same time? Not happening. 500 eyewitnesses at the same time. The evidence is overwhelming. You have to choose to not believe with your mind in this historical fact that Jesus lived, He came, and that there was an empty tomb. What else? There's more. Changed lives. The disciples and other followers of Jesus were transformed from a group of frightened, discouraged individuals into bold, courageous preachers of the gospel. This transformation is evidence of the power of the resurrection. Okay, this Peter, who denied Jesus three times, couldn't stand up for Him while he is in the presence of Jesus, just 50 days later, gets up in a very potentially hostile crowd and says, "This Jesus, whom you crucified, life changed. Those that knew me before, my life was changed." If you go back and you ask those who knew Mike before Jesus, they'll tell you, "I am a totally different person. In fact, my senior year, one of the things my classmates all voted me was most changed." Most changed. Most changed from what? From the guy who would get you to drink for the first time. From the guy that would lead you into sin. Most changed that I am the guy who would most likely lead you to church. Changed lives is the proof of the resurrection. Number four, the origin of Christianity. Christianity was born and rapidly grew where Jesus' death and resurrection happened. This would have been the easiest place to disprove it. This would have been the easiest place, but yet it was the hardest place. It would have been the hardest place to pull it off. You understand? And yet it was pulled off there where it happened. Man, there's so many. I'll give you one more. Those who preached the gospel, the disciples, all, if not most, of the disciples gave their life unto death for the truth of the resurrection. Listen, I can see people living for a lie if it got them promotions or riches or fame. We've seen that, haven't we? And that's been exposed. We can understand that, even though it's not right. We can understand that. But when they acknowledged the resurrection, it led to persecution. It led to being driven out of their homes. It led to many followers losing their family, okay? You don't do that for a lie. But you certainly don't die for a lie. And yet, most did. And tens of thousands still do today, every year, die because the resurrection is real. So what does your mind say to you? There's the evidence. There's more and more and more, church. We could spend hours going over evidence. You have to purposely close your eyes wide shut and just ignore it because it's overwhelming. But you believing it just with your mind is not enough. It's not enough to go, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the resurrected Jesus. Do you know that James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in the book of James that even the demons believe in the resurrected Jesus? Even the demons believe. But they're not saved. It's not enough just to believe with your mind. But you must believe with your heart. So what does your heart say today? What is your heart saying? What is the heart? And what is the fruit of the heart? It's a life changed. It's what you live for. Today, can you ask your heart, is Jesus the risen Savior? Is he the resurrected Jesus? Because if your heart believes it, you're changed. You can't stay the same. Listen, if you just have a mental assent, you might come to church because you need some help in your marriage. You might need some help in your finances or maybe hoping for some help there or maybe relationally or fighting depression and all of that. And guess what? Come. Taste and see that God's good. You know what? Give Jesus a try. I know some theologians and pastors would give me a hard time, and I know I just posted it on the internet for everybody. But here's the deal. I believe Jesus says, come, taste and see that I'm good. He literally comes, come try me. Come try me. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? I'm okay with it. I believe with all my heart. Come on, live around me long enough. I promise you, you will get saved. If you live around me and my family and my life long enough, you're going to go, I need me some of that. And it's not that I'm perfect, I have it all together. No, no, no. You're just going to see Jesus. And you're going to go, I need some of that Jesus. Because life's hard. Life is hard. Without Jesus, it's impossible. But what do you believe in your heart? What burns in your heart? What kind of hunger do you have? I mean, we're going to get to go on this journey together and spend time with him. You know, when Jesus said, and we're going to get to it, I can't wait. It's the Samaritan woman at the well. He said, there's a day coming. There's a day coming where you won't worship at a place. You won't worship at this mountain and you won't worship in Jerusalem. But you will worship in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? It means a lot, but let me just say a little bit of what it means. It means this. God was going to make a home in you. His spirit was going to be placed in you. You were going to be able to worship him in spirit everywhere you go. Because everywhere you go, his spirit goes. To worship you in spirit and in truth. The truth of his word. You know what a gift it is to have access to the word of God? To his word? You know how many people are longing for this word around the world? Do you know, I risked my life smuggling this word into China. Okay? Why? Because it's worth that. It's worth giving your life to get this word into people, to people. There's a day coming, he said. It wasn't far off that you're going to be able to worship me in spirit and in truth. These next 50 days, church, we get to do this together. And you can grab a new Bible if you want. I know you already got 10 or 15. You got your phone, I mean. But if you want another one, grab one. On your way out, get the bookmark. Let's do this together. Let's see what the Spirit and truth will do in our lives. We know what the Word says. The truth will set us free. But your heart, what do you believe? And it's not enough just to believe in your heart. But you actually have to confess with your mouth to be saved. Romans 10. Nine and ten says, if it's a condition, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why is the resurrection so important? Because without believing in the resurrection, you cannot be born again. You must believe in the resurrection because of what it represents. It represents eternal life. It represents your sins are forgiven. When Jesus on the cross said it was finished, the resurrection proved that it was finished. Because looking at Jesus on the cross say it is finished didn't look like he had won anything. But the resurrection proved. It proved that it was finished for all those who believe. The resurrection. It's what our hope is anchored in. Verse 10, it says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So there is a mental assent, a mental believing, so that you can actually take a step of faith. Okay, there is a he's asking me to give him his life. Here's the paradox. You can't earn it. It's a gift. And yet you have to give your heart of stone to get back a heart of flesh. And your heart of stone is your life. You have to be willing. As Jesus says, consider the cost. There is a cost. And you go, wait a second, I thought it was a free gift. It is a free gift. It's a paradox, okay, in this. It'd be like I drove up here to the curb and I had a Ferrari and I had the keys to the Ferrari and I had the title and I said, hey, Daniel, here's the key to your new Ferrari. All I need from you is what you have in your pocket. That's all I got. That's all I got, Mike. That's all I got, Pastor Mike. Do you think he'd give it to me to own the Ferrari? Now, does anybody think he just purchased the Ferrari? No. But see, that's what your life is worth compared to what you get. It's not earning it, okay? You're not earning it, but you have to give your heart. You have to give your future. Because if you don't, you're just trying, Jesus. And it's okay. He's totally cool with you trying him. But you have to know the difference. There's a difference from trying Jesus and going all in for Jesus. And until you go all in for Jesus, I don't know that you can be born again. Now, I certainly didn't know what going all in for Jesus meant when I went all in for Jesus. I didn't know everything else that I was going to have to give to Jesus on this journey as I got in step with him. But there is something, as you ponder this, as you consider following Jesus, as you consider it and joining over 2 billion people in the earth today, 1 in every 3 people have had at least a mental assent about Jesus. They believe in Jesus. Now, whether they have received Jesus or not, I'm not sure. But 1 in 3 believe in Jesus. But John chapter 1, verse 12 says this. It's not enough just to believe in your heart in Jesus. You actually have to receive Jesus. And how do you know? How do you know if you've received Jesus? Because you'll be born again. The reason you know, the evidence that you know that you actually have become a Christian is not you come to church. Even though if you're a Christian, guess what you'll do? You'll come to church. Why? Because Jesus said come to church. That's not what makes you a Christian. That's just the fruit that should follow you as a Christian. But what makes you a Christian? Jesus. And when you have Jesus and you've been born again, your life changes. Those that knew you before Jesus, would they say your life has changed? If they wouldn't, then you don't know if you know Jesus. Because the thing we know, without a doubt, that when people meet Jesus and receive Jesus, their lives are changed. And today could be that day. Today could be the day of salvation. Today, your life could be changed. Today, you can come out of the tomb. Today. For some of you who have at one point come out of the tomb, but you've found yourself back in a tomb. Or maybe today you find your marriage feels like it's in a tomb. And a tomb represents death. It just doesn't feel alive. Maybe your relationships in your life just feel death. Maybe your health, your mental health feels death. You just feel like it's in a tomb. You're bound up. Today, Jesus is calling you out of the tomb. Today, he's here to heal you. Today, he's here to set you free. Because of the resurrection, we can experience eternal life today in whatever area of our life that needs it. Whatever area of our life that needs it. He said, seek first the kingdom. Seek first getting in step with Jesus. That's what seeking first the kingdom is. It's, I want to get in step with Jesus. This is what Sunday allows us to do. At least reset to go, if I got out of step with Jesus, at least every Sunday there are going to be other brothers and sisters that are going to help me, encourage me, spur me, inspire me to get back in step with Jesus. This is why Paul says, to us as believers that have been born again, do not forsake the assembly of believers. This is why coming to church is so important. It's not the end all, but it's at least that boundary that gets you reset. Because in this life, let me tell you, there's so many things that want to get you out of step with Jesus. And no, you can't do it alone. 2,000 years of church history. The church is not just 2 Christians getting together. You are the church, but that's not church. It was established at the very beginning. Yes, can church be in a house? For sure it can. But it's not just with your family. It's with the body of Christ. And church just helps us stay in step with Jesus. So what is your mind saying today? What is your heart saying? And what is your mouth saying? Because your mind, your heart, and your mouth set the direction for your life. Luke 6:43-45 says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Luke 9:26, as I close, says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of his holy angels." What do you believe with your mind today? What are you believing in your heart? What are you saying with your mouth? It all really begins and ends with the resurrection and that resurrection power. How do you know? How do you know? Because your life has changed and is continuing to be changed. It never stops being changed. It doesn't mean you don't stumble and you fall and have difficulty and challenges. We do. But we rise back up. Because we know who Jesus is. We believe in Jesus. And we're not ashamed to tell people about Jesus. You know, so many times I find myself as a pastor and as a Christian trying to be nicer than Jesus. Because I just want everybody to like me. But then occasionally, I get in step with Jesus. And I don't do what's just nice. I do what's loving. And I tell people the truth. And sometimes that truth will get you persecuted. Sometimes that truth will get you unliked. Unfriended. But the truth must be spoken. Yes, the truth seasoned with grace. And here's the grace of God. Jesus and the gospel. This is the gospel. God became man. And he lived the life we were all supposed to live, but we couldn't. And then he died the death that we all deserve to die. But he did it in our place. And he absorbed our sin and the sin of all mankind, the punishment that was due to all mankind. And let me just pause the gospel in a moment and just make this point. Sometimes you go, "Well, I don't know that I believe in God's word and his commands." You know, God doesn't need his word or his commands to hold you responsible to what's right and wrong. He'll actually just take, he could just take your own convictions, your own what you think is right and wrong, and use your own standards against you, because you can't live up to your own. You know it to be true. You know the shame you feel, the guilt you feel, the condemnation you feel. Whether you believe in a God or not, you feel shame and guilt and condemnation. But Jesus will take it. He paid for it. He absorbed it. And the gospel continues with, it is finished. And then he went into the grave, and on the third day he rose again, proving he was who he says he was. And all those who will believe in him and receive him, they will have eternal life. Would you bow your heads as we close today? Would you close your eyes and would you let God speak to you? Speak to your mind, speak to your heart, and give you the courage to open your mouth to what you believe and what you want to do. Whether you're here today and you're like, I don't know that I've ever given my life to Jesus. I don't know if it was ever true. I don't know that I've ever stepped out of the tomb, but today I want to step out of the tomb. Today I want to put my faith and my trust in Jesus. It's going to be a moment for you to respond, that you can open up your mouth, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and be saved and step out of the tomb. For others, you go, I believe I have, but I found myself living back in the tomb. I found myself bound up. I find myself not walking in freedom. I find myself looking for life where the dead are. I'm looking for life where the dead are. Like the disciples, like Mary and the women, they went to the tomb where dead people were, but Jesus is alive. And what Jesus is calling you into is alive, not to live in the tombs, not to live where dead things are, where the world tries to find life, but calls us out to get in step with him. And maybe you're like, I feel like I'm out of the tomb, but I'm not in step with Jesus. Today can be the day that you realign with Jesus and your heart with Jesus and what he wants. And you can confess that, Jesus, I want to be in step with you. I want to walk with you. I feel like I haven't been walking with you, Jesus. I've been doing my own thing. But today, on this resurrected Sunday, I want to put my trust in you again. I want to be in tune with you. I want to be aligned with you. As our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if you find yourself in any of those places and want to respond to Jesus and to the resurrection power, would you lift up your hand right where you're at? Just lift it up. Say, I want Jesus. I want to get in step with him. I want him in my life. I want to surrender my life. Hands all over this place. You want to join those people and say, I want to get in step with Jesus. I want to know that I know that I don't have a mental understanding. I have a heartfelt understanding. I believe with my heart as well as my mind that Jesus is Lord. And I'm coming out of the tomb. It's time to come out of the tomb. It's time today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of freedom. Come on, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. We're about to pray. I want you to join in with us all over this place. Lift up your hands. Put your faith and your trust in him. Right there. Amen. There's more hands going up. Come on. Put your hand up if you're saying, I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. I'm ready to follow him. I'm ready to get out of the tomb. I'm ready to get in step with him. Hallelujah. Pray this. Say, Jesus, I surrender my life, my mind, my heart. Jesus, I trust you. I believe in you. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I receive your love and your forgiveness. And I acknowledge, Jesus, that you died for me and that you rose again on the third day. I put my trust in you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, give God praise.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.